Welcome to the What Bitcoin Did podcast.
Hi there from Los Angeles. How are you all? Did you have a good weekend? I'm out here at CIS. I hosted a couple of fireside chats today at the conference. One with Tim Draper, first time I met him, so that was super cool. And then I did one with my boy Travis Kling. Hopefully I'm going to get copies of those and release them out on the show. Anyway, welcome to the What Bitcoin Did podcast, which is brought to you by the Mighty Kraken, the best place to buy and sell Bitcoin. I'm your host, Peter McCormack, and today I've got an interview with the CEO of Ledger, Pascal Gauthier. And sorry, this is a bit late and it's been a busy day, so I'm just sneaking out at the end of Tuesday on LA, so it still counts. Anyway, before we have the interview, I do have a message from my show sponsors. So firstly, today's show is brought to you by the amazing BlockFi, my longest ever sponsor. Love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the show for so long. They really are a company that is crushing it in the space, even during a bear market. And I am a customer of them. I've been one of their interest account holders for about 5 months now. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. And I know a bunch of you are as well, because you keep telling me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And also with these interest accounts, they've had a whole bunch of really cool updates recently. So firstly, they've dropped minimum deposits. So interest account holding clients will no longer have to meet a minimum deposit amount in their Bitcoin, Ether or GUSD before they can earn interest, which is very, very cool. Also, they've removed the early withdrawal penalty from an account and they're now offering a free withdrawal per month for every client. Add to this BlockFi Flex, where you can choose to receive your interest payments in the currency of your choice. It really is a very cool service. Also, don't forget, they've got their crypto interest loans as well. Really very cool company. I hope you're checking them out. If you're not, you definitely need to. Head over to BlockFi.com, which is BlockFi.com. Also, today's show is brought to you by the Mighty Kraken, the most trusted place to buy and sell Bitcoin. Are you using Kraken yet? Are you a customer? Come on, join me in supporting Kraken. They are building up a badass team. Obviously, they recruited Dan Held recently, and now Pierre Rochard has joined them. I'm going to be meeting up with Pierre in New York next week. We're going to talk about this, talk about what he's doing for Kraken. So that's very exciting. But for you traders out there, Kraken does have the most comprehensive set of tools available. They've got Kraken.com, the best place to buy, sell, and trade digital currencies. They've got margin trading with up to 5x leverage. They've got futures and indices. They've got the badass Kraken OTC desk for those large trades. They've also got CryptoWatch, where you can trade on multiple exchanges from a single platform. And for you advanced traders out there, if you want some good account management you want looking after, they've got the best in the market. There is no better place to trade Bitcoin. So join me in supporting Kraken at kraken.com. Okay, onto the show. And I've got Pascal, who I firstly met in Hong Kong early in the year. He's a great guy, and I'm a big fan of Ledger. They've just celebrated their fifth birthday, and I've been using Ledger hardware wallets from the very start. So that's very cool. So with hardware wallets, not your keys, not your coins. It's such a common phrase we have in Bitcoin. But there's still so many people are leaving their Bitcoin on an exchange. Trace Mayer has been ramming that down our throat. January the 3rd, got to make sure we get our coins off the exchange. And do you know what? Why do people do this? Is it laziness? Is it intimidating for some people new to Bitcoin? But for whatever reason, you should be taking your coins off an exchange. And even if you don't have the skills to run your own node, you can start with a hardware wallet. I've used a Ledger Nano S. I've also used Trezor. I think they're both cool. And I've also got a cold card now, which I'm going to be checking out. But I've always really liked the UX on the Nano. And they've just turned 5. So this was a great opportunity to get Pascal on the show, to discuss the last 5 years, what's coming, talk about responsible disclosure, talk about competition. Yeah, it's great to have him on. Hope you enjoy the show. You know, as ever, you've got any questions, you can hit me up on hello@whatbitcoindid.com. Also, as I said, I'm out in LA at the moment. I am going to be heading to New York on the 21st for the Human Rights Foundation's Freedom Forum. Well, actually, I just found out Tool are going to be playing LA on the 21st, so I might change my flight. I might stay here and watch Tool, obviously. But if you are in New York next week, you want to hang out, give me a shout. Also, massive thanks for all the great feedback on Defiance. Everyone who's checked out the show, everyone who's shared it out. It's really amazing, the feedback I've had so far. Very proud and very, very grateful. So thank you very much. So any questions, you know you can reach out to me. My email address is hello@whatbitcoindid.com. Pascal, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. We met before, didn't we? We met in Hong Kong. I don't know if you remember.
Actually, you have to refresh my memory. I don't remember. Where did we meet in Hong Kong?
At the Token 2049 event. My hair was a lot shorter.
Ah, that's why. Like, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Well, happy birthday.
On behalf of Ledger, thank you.
Yeah, welcome. 5 years, man. Congratulations. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a an amazing 5 years. It's a bit like a baby. Like, you know, the first 5 years, you're thinking, wow, like, you know, all these things has, you know, the first year was very different from the second year, and so on and so forth. And of course, as you know, we've been in an industry that's been moving a lot. So, you know, there was never a dull year. And just like a baby, after the first 5 years, you know, it's just a part of the journey, because then there's the next 5 years to come, and, you know, and they're almost as exciting, if not more, of the 5 years that have passed. So it's been five exciting years, but just wants us, we just want more now. We want to know what's going to happen in the next 5 years.
Yeah. So I noted that you have a background in advertising, like I did.
I do, actually. I was, you know, when I started my career, was internet advertising, you know, Kelku, Yahoo. Then I built Criteo. We listed at the NASDAQ in 2013 here in New York. It was a retargeting company. So those annoying ads that follow you everywhere was the products. That's sort of me with the team at Criteo, and moved away from advertising to join Bitcoin.
Do you miss advertising at all?
Not at all. No, because the thing with Bitcoin, the reason why I wanted out of advertising is because, you know, on those protocols, when it's the internet protocol, advertising, I think on every new dollar, advertising dollar that is being spent in the US, I think 95 cents goes to the GAFAs. And so it's becoming a very difficult business to be in. And, you know, you compete with different type of weapons. So, you know, Google, Amazon, Facebook, they have like the big weapons and you have the small guns. So it's an unfair competition. And so I just wanted to change the game and to work on, you know, sort of different protocols to be able to compete with those big companies and to build a great company out of a new protocol. And so for me, Bitcoin sort of ticked that box, where suddenly you have a blue ocean, you know, the potential is infinite, and you can build amazing companies without unfair competition. So that's why I'm here.
Did you work on advertising in the advertising industry before the retargeting business, though?
Sure, yeah, of course.
So you worked in old school advertising, because I tell you why, I left the advertising industry 5 years ago, and I kind of felt like two things. I felt like creativity was dying. It was being kind of destroyed by data. And also I felt like we were kind of destroying the internet. We were ruining the experience for users. I kind of missed the old school days of, you know, creative teams, a copywriter, an art worker, just coming up with beautiful ideas. I don't know if you had the similar kind of feeling.
Well, I mean, Criteo is the ultimate data company when it comes to advertising. So, you know, I didn't share exactly your feeling, because I think data is great, and, you know, it brings actual results, you know. But we were on the other side of the spectrum. I think creativity is important, and I feel what you're saying. Like, you know, I agree to a certain extent. So, you know, to the extent that I think data is important, but creativity has sort of suffered because of the internet, because of the direct marketing model that, you know, sort of Google and Facebook have brought to the world. We sort of moved away from creativity and enter into the direct marketing age, let's say. But it's, for me, it's not the reason why I have no love anymore for the advertising world. I just think that in this crypto community, we're just solving bigger problems. You know, at some point, selling ads is good, but, you know, it's, you know, you just help people make better purchase decisions, I guess. I think the problem we're solving here is far more interesting and truly help people, you know, gaining economic freedom. So that's why I'm here.
So you think the problem you're solving then is economic freedom? That's what really brings you into kind of Bitcoin crypto?
In the grand scheme of things, yes. I mean, you know, I don't wake up every day thinking economic freedom, but, you know, if I think about, you know, why I invested time and money into the space and why I think ultimately is very interesting, and if I have to narrow it down into sort of two words, I think economic freedom is a very interesting concept. I think, you know, what struck me with Bitcoin is this, you know, the first thing that struck me is this ability to now suddenly own your private keys, like sort of own your money and be free. And it's a very new thing, actually. We come from a very centralized world, you know, whether we're talking about advertising, but whether it's with your advertising data, like, you know, you have your data that you actually give to the Facebook, Google, you know, they sell advertising on top and you have no control over that. Like, you know, the human being in the digital world has very little control over its digital assets. And I think, you know, Bitcoin is an interesting case of suddenly regaining control on one asset that is particularly interesting, which is, you know, sort of value, transfer of value. And so, sure, economic freedom or freedom, like if I have to narrow it down to one word, I think, you know, we're fighting for freedom in a way. And we know that it's being attacked right now. So I think it's an important problem.
So obviously their forward ledger is a company which helps people with that. You know, you've got your hardware devices that help people manage their private keys. But at the same time, you know what it's like with this crypto Bitcoin ecosystem. People keep talking about, oh, when are the institutions come in and when are we going to have an ETF? And I've started to kind of feel like that side of the industry isn't really about economic freedom, that whereas helping the individual kind of is. Do you understand the kind of the dilemma I'm having now, where I'm kind of like, when I hear about things like ETFs, I can't get that excited anymore because that doesn't feel like it is about economic freedom.
No, but I think it's that's more like the ransom of success than, you know, what Bitcoin really is. I think, you know, people see an opportunity and suddenly everyone is building services and, you know, sort of ETFs and everything around Bitcoin, but that's not what it is at the core. I think it's a retail revolution first. It's the first financial product that starts with retail. Ledger is the first security company that starts with retail. It's a very rare thing that security companies start with retail. Actually, it never happened in the past. I mean, unless you know a company, but like when we're thinking about this and we're looking at, you know, we come from the chip and pin industry. And so we're looking at other companies similar to us in France. They're all B2B hardcore companies. We are the only one that started from, you know, the retail side. So I think long run, you know, the next bull market will come with the retail. Like right now, people say, you know, is the market bullish or bearish? I mean, market right now is nothing. It's just, you know, futures and people trading. But you haven't had like the next 100 or, you know, 500 million people sort of coming in. And what has driven the bull market in 2017 was massive retail adoption. It was not the big banks or the financial institutions. And people talk about financial institutions as the next big wave of money. It might very well be so, but actually prefer the retail investor and you know, those type of, I was presenting in front of a big bank in France the other day and half were amused. The other half didn't understand, you know, there were other people that were sort of aggressive towards crypto because, you know, they didn't want it. But anyways, it was a bizarre conversation. And, you know, at the back of the room, there was the waiter and the waiter had a big smile. And when I finished my presentation, he was very happy. I didn't understand why. I made a few jokes on stage, but I didn't think I was that funny. But anyway, he was very happy. He had a smile. And he say, hey, you're the CEO of Ledger. I'm like, sure. And he's like, how do I split my Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash with your hardware? Like very precise and like in-depth, you know, view of the market, much more than any of the bankers in the room. And to me, I was like, you know, it feels good. Like that's why I'm here. I'm here for these guys, not the rest. Although we love the rest and, of course, we will provide technology and services, but like philosophically and fundamentally, I think it's a retail revolution first.
Well, listen, look, it's a competitive market that you guys are in. I've been with you since the very start, since I very first got into it. My first wallet, my hardware wallet was a Ledger. I've tried them all. I've tried a KeepKey. I've tried a Trezor. I've always really liked the Ledger UX, both the device but also the applications that you actually interact with. And I'll talk about them at the moment because it's not like a perfect experience, but I've always kind of ended up sticking with Ledger. But why for you hardware wallets? Obviously, you discovered Bitcoin, which, you know, you've talked about that before, but like, why was this the thing that you wanted to go for?
So probably because of a culture difference. Like, you know, when I was, I'm French, I was in France, I was trying to invest in the space. And so, you know, looking at the space, I thought there were a few issues. Data was one. So I built a company called Kaiko that Soubiran is running. But I thought security was another one, not security of the blockchain itself, but security of the endpoint. And it was just after the Mongox hack. And I thought, you know, really from like my 2 cents sort of thoughts on the market at that point was, you know, how do you build a big market if security is not there? And so I met with Eric Larchevêque, Nicolas Bacca, and the founding team of Ledger, and they were pitching me their, you know, their key at the time, and they were coming from the chip and pin industry, and actually it's a French invention. And so when you try to invest in a business, you know, you try to see, you know, starting from France is not necessarily the best place to start a business, but it really depends. It really depends on, you know, what is the specialty that we have in France? And chip and pin is actually one. And so credit cards, actually, French credit cards, I mean, the chip and pin that you have on your credit card is actually a French invention and is a much better security than just swiping the card and the experience they have even in New York today. Like, these people are crazy. They just swipe the cards and there is no security. So chip and pin is just better. And so I thought, okay, protecting secrets with the chip and pin, which what the chip and pin does, like it protects secrets before, it protected secrets from your bank or your telco, but right now it protects your secrets. I think it's just, you know, a technology that's been there for the past 20, 25 years. It's been proven to be a great technology to protect secrets. And the number one problem with crypto is you need to protect the secrets, because otherwise crypto is gone. And crypto, I think, is amazing. But the one thing that is probably less amazing, and why custody is so important, why security is so important, is like, it's very easy to steal, much more than anything else. To steal $1 billion worth of gold is very difficult, like only in movies, like, you know, or you have an army, you invade a country. I mean, you need to think hard about that. But to steal Bitcoin at scale is very easy. You can do it from your room with a computer. You know, you attack one server, you extract the private keys. You know, happens every day. It has happened to, you know, big players even recently. So it's a big problem. And so I thought, without real security, we're not going to solve that problem. Without solving that problem, the market will never get big. And you know what? Like, the problem is not solved yet. I think 5 years at Ledger, it's just the beginning. It was just 5 years to get us where we are today. And we're just starting ready to actually really bring cool security, cool platform, cool UX, better UX than what we have right now. I think UX will largely improve in the next months. And Ledger in 5 years from now will be security, but very easy to use, which also is very new in security. Usually security is very clunky. We'll make it very easy to use.
Right. So what areas will you be making easier to use? Because that was the thing about Ledger. I've always found it super easy. Like, it's just such a super easy product to use, to set up. The device is easy to use, the software. I prefer the old Bitcoin app than using Ledger Live. That's my preference. But then I only use it for Bitcoin now. So it's like, I don't trade altcoins anymore. But even so, I just prefer the old one. I don't know if you get that as feedback from many people.
Yes and no. I mean, but you're an old timer, so you know.
I'm not that old.
No, but like from people, someone like you, yeah, we get the feedback. But like in general, people prefer Ledger Live. It's a better experience. Like the app was, you know, it was great at the time, and it's a bit scary. Like it's very techy, so it's a bit nerdy. Like, right. So if you're a hardcore Bitcoin fan, then of course, you know, it reminds you of the first years, but. But the Ledger Live experience today, I think, is great, but it was going to be so much better in the future.
So what are the kind of things are you working on then?
I think what we're working on right now is just sort of fulfilling our destiny. Actually, what people don't realize is, you know, they see Ledger as a hardware company. It is security enforced by hardware, but actually we are an OS company. What at the heart of Ledger, there is an operating system called Bolos. And that's what we do, actually. The big invention of Ledger is the operating system. Then we put the operating system in different type of hardware. So, you know, the Nano is one type, and we had to invent this hardware because there was no secure hardware to store your private keys before, in the sense that your computer or your phone, like, you don't have security in those hardware products, so you can't keep your keys today on your computer or on your phone. Like, it would be too easy to hack. So we had to build this hardware, but at the heart is the operating system. And it's semi-open operating system, like some parts are closed because it's security, other parts are open. And so what we're building essentially is a platform. So Ledger Live is a platform, and what you'll see in the future is many more services being added into Ledger Live. So we make it very easy for consumers to sort of never leave their security and the Ledger Live experience and be able to do sort of their crypto journey within Ledger Live. So, you know, whether you want to buy Bitcoin, swap Bitcoin, lend Bitcoin, take Bitcoins, all of these features will be available in the next few months within the Ledger Live experience.
Right. So you are actually creating an almost be your own bank within the device. Because lending from the device is very interesting.
It's funny you say that. So be your own banker, I think, would be more accurate. Like, you know, you're going to
be your own banker.
Be your own banker, for sure.
Yeah. Because that's very interesting to be able to lend directly from your Ledger.
To lend directly from your Ledger, to stake directly from your Ledger, and to do this with the same level of security. Because I think one of the flaws today is you have your coins on your Ledger, so you're perfectly happy, you sleep at night, and then suddenly you need to do something. Like, you need to, you know, you want to swap coins. And so what do? You take your coins out of your Ledger, you put them somewhere, and then you swap them. And all of this is very, can be very dangerous. I'm not even talking about decentralized exchange. I've seen use cases where if you actually don't plug your Ledger before you do your transaction in decentralized exchange, and by mistake you sort of close the window before you sort of backing up your data and securing it on your Ledger, you could lose your transaction, you lose your coin. So many transactions actually happen with very low security. And today we're still in an industry where you have a sort of cold storage on one side or frozen storage or however they call it. And that's supposed to be secure. But as soon as you're in like a hot wallet, then it's insecure, but it's okay. So no, that's not okay. Like, you should be able to do everything with the same level of security. Otherwise, there's no scalability in this business. If you have to take a risk every time you manipulate your coins and it's too dangerous, people just won't do it. It's too scary. So what we're trying to do is to build like a security experience with all services on top, where you don't have to think about your security. Your security is a given. And now you only need to worry about, you know, sort of what you want to do with your coin.
Will you be partnering with other companies for things like interest, say, if you wanted to lend out, or will that be a service you will be providing yourself?
Well, no, for sure we'll be partnering, because, you know, Ledger will always remain a technology company and we will always remain sort of agnostic. So the idea for us is not to become an evil financial company or, like, you know, take our customers into the one service that we build where we, you know, creaming them with like sort of premium rates. So the idea is to be an open platform where every other service can sort of integrate into the platform and offer the service to the Ledger community. So the idea is to be as open as possible. And that's always been what Ledger was about. So typically today, when you buy our hardware product, you can use Ledger Live, but equally you can use any of our partner's services, because there's no reason why we should, you know, you use Ledger Live if you think it's the best experience, but if you think Electrum or anything else is a better experience for you, you should be able to do that. And there will always be like experiences that are very niche, narrow, like sort of deeper integration into OneCoin, etc., which, and Ledger will not provide everything on everything at all times. So we think to stay open is very important. That's what we are. That's what we owe to our customers.
So, for example, you perhaps could partner with someone like BlockFi, and I could lend and check my balances from within the Ledger app. Is that the kind of experience that we could have?
Correct. It's exactly that.
Yeah, because that would be very cool. Because one of the things that I've experienced through, you know, I've got Ledger and say I've got a BlockFi account, is that I'm always having to jump between services, and also different companies have different like security procedures. You being Ledger have probably got as good as anyone else in terms of your security procedures. So it would kind of make sense for that to happen.
Completely. So I concur. I mean, this is the same idea of like not having to, you know, go away from your Ledger experience every time that you want to do something. It's sort of to bring all services into one experience, and, you know, your Ledger will be your entry door into your crypto experience, and then you can use the services that you want. So the idea again is not to imprison you into one Ledger experience that will be ours, but it's just to give you every option so you can go about your merry crypto journey with the best possible security, which we provide, and then every type of services that you want to see in your Ledger Live experience. Correct.
Next up, I talked to Pascal more about Ledger and hardware wallets, but before that, I do have a message from my amazing sponsors. Okay, so Dropbit, the most badass Bitcoin wallet out there. Absolutely love these guys, love their work. It was great to hang out in Cleveland with them the other day, to go to their event, talk about Bitcoin, hang out with Bitcoiners, talk about the launch of their amazing new Lightning implementation. And also, they have announced the launch of Betch 32 addresses, which is very cool. I've got 10 million sats waiting to be sent out. I'm just waiting for another update to the app. Once that's done, I'm going to be firing those sats out to you. So if you've not checked it out, time for you to definitely go and download Dropbit. You can text Bitcoin, you can tweet Bitcoin. It's pretty damn cool what they've been doing. All right, it's available for the iPhone and Android. Just head over to dropbit.app, which is dropbit.app. And also, have you checked out Wire yet? My new sponsor, Wire. Come on, do me a favor. I love these guys. I love Michael. It's sendwire.com. Definitely go and check out the work they're doing. It doesn't matter whether you're a solo developer or a large team. If you want to simplify onboarding, if you want to offer your users an easy and fast way to purchase Bitcoin, then you must go and talk to Wire. Since 2013, their focus is on taking care of the heavy lifting in terms of compliance, payments, and liquidity, so you can focus on building your core offering. If you've got the next killer app, do not let regulators kill it. Find out more by reaching out to Wire or creating a developer account at sendwire.com, which is sendwyre.com. How scary is the security side of things for you? I've spoke with Nick Pococo, the head of security at Kraken. I spoke to other exchanges and other companies about, you know, the constant threat of people trying to hack. Now, they've got it slightly different in that, you know, people are trying to attack their honeypot, the coins they are custodying for their customers. Yours is slightly different because you don't custody any. I custody it myself using your device. So essentially, rather than protecting your own honeypot, you're protecting the honeypot of personal holdings. But how scary is it? Like, how much of a threat is it? How regularly are you guys seeing people trying to attack you? And do you even have people trying to attack you as a company?
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we're a security company. So, of course, we're sort of sane paranoids. We try to... Security is always a game of cat and mouse. So there is nothing that is... There's no such thing as perfect. There's just a prize, an attack. And if the cost of the attack is worth attacking compared to the price that you're trying to get, then, of course, you will attack. So the idea is to make the attack as costly as possible so people never attack because it's too expensive compared to what they can gain from the attack. So that's the whole game. And the way that we do it is we've built internally at Ledger an attack lab, our own attack lab. It's called the Dungeon.
Yeah, so I was reading about it earlier.
You read about the Dungeon, cool. So we have 10 white hats hackers, and they hack like every fucking possible way, like hardware, software, da-da-da. Actually, you know, one day... If you want, you can talk to Charles, who are our chief security officer. They have very cool stories about what they do. They publish a lot of stuff because, again, we have a very open approach about security, which is also very new. Like, we publish everything that we find. We do, of course, responsible disclosure. We bring the problem to our partner or, you know, whoever we broke first so they can fix it. When it's fixed and patched, then we agree on disclosure together. But they were presenting at Black Hat something like a hack that we've done on HSM. It's basically next generation security because none of the hardware security that was designed before have actually been designed specifically for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a very complex problem in terms of its security because it's so easy to steal. That as soon as you access private keys, boom, it's gone. And mm-hmm. If you think about the past before Bitcoin, nothing is like that really. You can sort of roll back to anything that was before. Everything is sort of centralized, so you have one authority that can decide to roll back on everything and anything. Bitcoin is the first time that it's immutable. Like, you know, you cannot change the past. Like, the past is the past, and, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. So of course, it changes radically the security problem. And that's why we're working so hard. That's why we have our own attack lab, because otherwise, it's too easy to steal.
But it's not just for testing your own products, right? Similar to Kraken, because Kraken will test products across the entire ecosystem. Their view is they want to elevate their entire ecosystem. You know, you have not only tested your own products, but you test Trezors, you test KeepKeys. You've obviously disclosed bugs that have happened that you found or potential hacks. And there's an interesting thing in that as well, because obviously Trezor are your, you know, most obvious competitor, and you have found vulnerabilities with their device, but at the same time, the market kind of needs at least two strong hardware wallets to support multi-sig, because in an ideal world, you would use different devices for a multi-sig.
Correct. I mean, look, our approach is to sort of raise the bar of security and basically help the industry and consumers. Like, you know, our aim is to make sure that people are safe. That's the only motivation that we have. And in that spirit, we sort of hack everything that is part of sort of the Ledger experience in the grand scheme of things. So whether it's our product, our partner's products, whether it's the secure elements, the HSM, and of course our competitor's product, because we're curious. And and yeah, sometimes you find vulnerabilities, but the idea is to, you know, help everyone patch them and to disclose also, so consumers can make an informed decision on what they're going to use and, you know, what's the most secure experience for them. And then, you know, based on that, then they decide. Like, we believe right now we have probably the most secure experience in the market and the most secure experience sort of at scale that can be used, like, you know, by millions of people. And of course, you know, when you read the press, you have many other players that come into the market right now. They always say that they're more secure, etc. They talk about MPC. There are many new security sort of tricks going forward, and we look at everything with a keen eye. And, you know, we don't think that what we do today is the alpha and the omega of security. We believe that we still have to raise the bar in time. But right now, for a product that is in the market, that is at scale, we believe that we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, so that is kind of like a strange position to be in, because, you know, if you can find, you know, bugs with other devices, and, you know, if you go through the process of responsible disclosure, as you did with Trezor, you disclosed to them quite early on with some of the vulnerabilities you found, it does act as a piece of marketing for Ledger, right? Because I remember reading about one of the vulnerabilities you found with theirs, the seed extraction. But you said it was unfixable, right? You said there's no patch available. It can only be fixed with a rebuild. Therefore, you're really advertising Ledger at the same time as being a better product. But do you understand my point when I say that for multi-sig, you do require at least two and ideally three or four high-quality players in the market without vulnerabilities?
Sure. No, your point is clear and valid, but we'll keep on hacking everything that is around until, you know, we find those two or three other players that have real security. So, you know, it's a difficult game. Like, you know, I think they're good products in the market. Like, you know, we like our competitors, and our competitors make us better. And, you know, together we're trying to raise the bar and build better products for consumers. So for sure, what you're saying is 100% true. And we don't want to be the one and only. We probably want to be the best, but not the one and only, because that would be a very sad world. And competition is important in the market to drive innovation. So for sure, I mean, what you're saying makes absolute sense. And you know, and the spirit of what we're doing with Dungeon is exactly that. It's just to make sure that everyone is aware of security, everyone has the best possible security products, because whether you use a Ledger product or any other product in the market, you know, our aim and, you know, our passion is just that everyone is very secure, because if that's not the case, and if there is a critical failure by, you know, those three other players that you mentioned, it's going to be very bad for everyone. You know, people will lose trust, even in Ledger, because in the end, the consumers won't make the difference between, like, the three other guys that were hacked and Ledger is not hacked, but they're going to say, you know, this shit doesn't work.
Yeah. How does that work in terms of a relationship? Do you kind of have a very strong relationship with Trezor? Do you have very good communication channels? Or do you all kind of like just secretly hate each other?
Well, you know, hate each other.
I mean, you must get tense.
For sure not. Like, for sure not. But, you know, I think it's a very good relationship. I think, you know, Trezor, Ledger, and the rest of the industries, we work very sort of closely together as much as we can, let's say. Especially on security issues, I think teams are working very closely together. But then, everyone has their own baby, so you know, it's always the game. It's like you always want your baby to be the prettiest. So I think that it's just life. Like, sometimes people get, you know, it's never good to be hacked. So you know, it's always when we get hacked, we're not happy. So you know, it's the game. It's the game.
Yeah, one of the other interesting things that's starting to happen is there are Bitcoin only wallets. You know, we have Cold Card, and also Trezor have released a Bitcoin firmware, so you can have a Bitcoin-only Trezor. Is this something you guys have considered doing? Because there is that, you know, split in the market of people that are will trade anything, or some people who just want to only own Bitcoin and hold Bitcoin. Have you considered that? Because I also heard another interview with somebody else that said the more coins that you introduce to a device, the more risk you introduce to the device, because there's more vulnerabilities. Is that something you agree with, and have you considered that?
No, I completely disagree. I really don't understand what people are talking about, and I think it's a misconception of our product. Like, because people say that, and I'm like, we're fucking already doing it. Like, you know, it's if you want, you know, this is our product is very different from Trezor, actually, in that regard. The reason why they have to do like a Bitcoin app is because they don't have secure hardware, and so therefore their apps are not segregated. And so the more coins you add, like the more attack vector that you add into the product, which is why, one of the reasons why, you know, we could hack into the Trezor product. We have actually at the root of our product, something that is very different, and we work on the secure elements. We have a chip and pin technology. They actually don't have that. Like, they work on an element that is not as secure as ours, and it's just different. And so it's easier to hack on the one side. On the other side, the secure element gives you the segregation of your account. So typically, this is why when you download Ledger Live, or when you have the Nano product, you have to download one app per coin. And the secure hardware actually gives you the insurance that no other app, not one app can contaminate the other. So when you have your, number one, you can only download the Bitcoin app. And so voila, you have a, you know, Nano S that is a Bitcoin wallet only. But even if you download other apps, that's not going to contaminate anything because the segregation of the apps and the security of that is enforced by the hardware. So actually, we already have an OS that is Bitcoin only if you want, or Ethereum only if you want, or we don't need to design a specific OS for this because it's already what's in our product. And so I was reading the buzz around this and people are like, oh my God, like let's figure out something new. Let's just do an OS that is Bitcoin only. It's like, dude, like we've been doing it from the beginning, so it's good.
But that's quite a bold statement to say that Trezor is easy to hack, and I'm sure they wouldn't like to hear that.
Well, they're not easy to hack, but they're easier to hack for sure. Everyone is hackable, by the way. Like we're not in a position to say, you know, Ledger, like we've figured out everything, etc. Security is a complex game, and you know, going forward there will be new attacks and new vector of attacks, etc., which is why you have the dungeon. It's not something that you're doing one day and then you put for the rest of your life. Like it's a continuous process of like sort of improving security with new attacks, etc. It's a cat and mouse thing. So we're not saying that we know everything, but we're working hard to protect Ledger. And right now, if you talk to our security team, we can hack a Trezor in a way that you can't hack a Ledger. So, and it's been documented, and I'm not here to put oil on the fire, but it is what it is.
No, but people should know this. You know, my show tends to be more for kind of a range of people listen to it, but also a lot of beginners or less technical, less experienced people, the kind of people who would kind of just trust things. They might just buy a device and just use it. And, you know, if you think that the Trezor is easier to hack, then perhaps they need to hear that and understand why. And I will share out the links in the show notes for the disclosure that you did recently. But, you know, it's
documented. Trezor has responded. Their response is you should never give your Trezor. No one should have physical access to your Trezor. And they said that hardware wallets were not designed to protect from like sort of physical attacks. And we think it's really wrong. Actually, you could leave your Ledger at the table of a hotel in New York and just sort of leave it there. Like it should be resistant enough to prevent from anyone like getting your private keys, even if they have physical access to the device. Now, the game is always a game of time. So if you give someone physical access of your device for like 5 years, you have a bigger attack vector than if you give someone physical access to your device for, let's say, 2 hours. And so, you know, I would recommend everyone, like if you lose your device, actually you're okay with Ledger, with Trezor, someone could extract the private keys. But I wouldn't leave like a device like out there for 5 years thinking I'm good. Like, you know, I would probably move the coins to another wallet and sort of reset the whole process. But the reality is this right now, like someone can steal your Ledger device, have it in their hands, and there is nothing that they can do. Like we cannot extract private keys from our own devices. Our attack lab was never able to actually do it so far. So far we have a better security value proposition.
I left my Ledger in a hotel in Germany. I left it there.
And your coins are still safe, so there you go.
Coins are still safe. I managed to get it back. But you know what I did, which just probably sounds like crazy, but I left it in the safe in the hotel room and I was at the airport about to get a flight. I didn't have time to go back, but I did have time for an Uber driver to deliver it. So I had to phone up the hotel. They put it in an envelope and the Uber driver delivered it. But, you know, the whole time I was thinking, wow, this could get stolen at any point. But even if it gets stolen, I've got my backup. I can restore it. I never had that fear that I would have a problem. But I never had that fear with the Trezor until, you know, I obviously heard about, you know, the vulnerabilities you found. Are there other devices you like? Because there are quite a few now on the market. Is there anything else that you're looking at and thinking that's kind of interesting?
Well, we look at everything. We open everything. You know, the dungeon gets everything. Right now, we don't see anything that we believe it's... Because the problem that those hardware wallets are trying to solve actually is a complex problem, and actually no one has solved the problem yet, and it's something that is going on right now. It's like everyone realizing, you know, wait, like all of this is supposed to be decentralized, and yet the biggest players are centralized value propositions, whether it's Exchange, Coinbase, etc., etc. And so we're not sort of fulfilling the vision of you know, decentralization and Bitcoin. There's a good reason for that, is most decentralized value propositions actually sort of suck in terms of UX and UI, and they have less good UX and UI than centralized value proposition. It's slicker to use Coinbase than it is to use Ledger, you know. That has to change in the future. So actually we are working hard to change that. So one day, and one day is not 10 years, but like in the next couple of years, you will have a decentralized value proposition that'd be more secure and on par, if not better, as a UX, UI experience, where you will be able to own your private keys, but without sort of worrying every day about sort of security, losing your 24-word password, and all these good things that sort of makes you your own banker. So we want you to become your own banker, but in a very safe and trustworthy environment. So we're working hard to do that. I don't think that anyone is doing it right now as a decentralized value proposition. We look at every other hardware wallet, and you know, you have one problem that is hardware first, and most of the hardware wallets actually don't have secure elements built in, so they don't have real security built in. And then there is a question of the software. That we have Ledger Live. I don't see out there like a software value proposition that is so much better than Ledger Live right now. And Ledger Live has many flaws, and we are fixing them. And you know, we will make it a better product over time. But yeah, I mean, we keep a keen eye on competition because that's what's pushing us. I don't think there's value prop in the market right now that is so amazing, including Ledger. I think we're great. I think we're good. I think we can be so much better, and we're working hard to be much better in the near future.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you decentralize hardware manufacture. I mean, there is still a certain amount of trust that people have to give with you. I was listening to an interview earlier where somebody was saying that you should only really buy a hardware device directly from the hardware manufacturer, you know, directly from you. You shouldn't be buying it from third-party retailers because there is a trust element in that process. But even buying a device for you, there is still, even though it's like a minute risk, there's still an element of trust with you. I don't know how you get to decentralized hardware unless you're building it yourself.
I think that's a misconception. Actually, you could buy a Ledger from sort of anyone, anywhere, and it will still provide the same security. Of course, providing that you do like this, a couple of sanity checks, et cetera, et cetera. The great thing with Ledger is that, you know, you don't have to trust, you can verify. And so it's already part of the process. Like you can actually verify that your Ledger is genuine. You can verify that it has been tampered with, et cetera. It's very easy. We bring in certification. Actually, the Nano S is the only certified product in the market. So actually, you know, what we say, we had like a lab double checking it, etc. So whether you can verify for yourself or we have third parties verifying it for you, we have no problem with so you shouldn't have any problem buying your Ledger from anywhere really. And but you know, it's just like when we launched Nano X, like people thought that the Bluetooth was an attack vector and they were very scared that the Bluetooth would give access to your private keys. Actually, it's not the case. We have documented that. But, you know, it's just like fake news also in our world. Like, you know, people are very scared, and they're right to be scared. Like, you know, it's a scary thing. But we are trying to educate as much as we can. We're publishing as much as we can. And it's a long game in the sense that, you know, people will be less scared with time, because as we have 1.5 million devices in the market, you know, the day will be hacked. It will be very public. People will know very quickly.
And 1.5 million devices, that's pretty epic. Congratulations. Obviously, amazing performance. How has it been for you as a company going through what was obviously a crazy bull market in 2017 to kind of a bear market? You know, it's obviously impacted every single company within the industry. Like, how did it affect you, firstly, within the bull market? Were you able? I mean, actually, I even remember there was a wait time to get your devices, because remember when I bought a second one. So you obviously had a supply chain problem to solve then. How has it also been going through a bear market for you guys?
Oh yeah, no, it was an interesting ride. So that's why the first 5 years, like we had, like sort of every year was different. Like, you know, 2015, 2016, like extremely quiet. 2017, craziness. 2018, massive crash. 2019, like, you know, sort of like the dead. Still dead market. So in terms of hardware production, it's a very interesting challenge. And actually, we've got a lot better at understanding how to have a very big production and then go very low very quickly, which we didn't master at the time, because it's too crazy. Like, you go from selling like two devices a day to selling like 10,000 devices a day. Like, how do you do that? Like, it's almost an unsolvable problem. But right now, we just launched our new plant in Vierzon. So we've just opened like a 4,000 meter square brand new plant called the Ledgerplex that just give us a lot of flexibility into our hardware production that we sort of control from A to Z, but up to a couple of millions of units a year. Like if we have to build more than a couple of millions of units a year, then we have partners everywhere in the world that can help us do that, and then we can scale almost to the infinite. The reality is if the market is like up and down like this, hardware production is very difficult because if you can't predict, it's very difficult to have solid partnerships sort of outside of the company. But up to 2 million units now, we're sort of good. After 2 million units, we will find partners outside of Ledger. But you know, so far we sold 1.5, so I think with 2 million, like the next bull run can come, we're ready.
Do you guys, or are you as a team, considering diversification outside of crypto? I know you've got the IoT side of the business, but does that make you want to push something like that so you have more of a steady business and you're less reliant or less exposed to the kind of the boom and bust of the industry?
I think we don't do anything for business reasons. Like people ask me like, oh, you know, what's your exit strategy? Or like, you know, do you do this to please VCs, etc.? We just do things because it's great and, you know, we believe it's a great business and we believe that we should do it and there is a need in the market. So typically, you know, our vision is that there are critical digital assets that are being created in the world right now. Bitcoin was the first example, but there are many other critical digital assets that are being created. Like if you talk about security tokens, like any kind of form of token going forward, but also connected objects, etc. They're trying to protect digital assets that have so much value that it's a one or zero sum game. Like, you know, you can't be hacked. And so, you know, our mission is to secure these assets. And so therefore a mission goes beyond just Bitcoin. It's just any digital critical digital asset that needs security. And that's what we do. And so therefore, whether we do it for consumers and the Bitcoin, whether we do that for enterprise with Vault and their crypto and security tokens and so on and so forth, or we do that for industries and objects, because you have objects that are in critical environments and you try to bridge the gap between the physical world and the digital world and make sure that what you send into, whether it's a blockchain or a central database, is real. And so this needs to happen with the Ledger type of security. Every calculation, every communication with the database or the blockchain has to be approved. It's a certificate of authentication, if you like. Mm-hmm. All of these assets are critical digital assets, and so that's our mission, to protect them for sure.
Okay, well, listen, it's been an amazing first 5 years for you. Obviously, you talked about some of the plans for the future, but like, what are the short-term plans? What are the things we're going to be seeing from Ledger over the next year?
So we talked about it. I mean, augment the experience of Ledger Live. I think you'll see many more services into Ledger Live where you don't have to exit your Ledger Live experience to then come back, and you know, you'll be able to use many more services, and Ledger Live will become much more of a platform. Same actually with Vault or our enterprise value proposition. Those two platforms will add many more services going forward, and short term, this is what you're going to see.
Okay, cool. And any plans to celebrate the 5 years?
Any plans to celebrate 5 years? We actually did this last week in Vierzon.
Yeah.
In combination with the opening of the Ledgerplex. We brought all the teams to Vierzon. So Vierzon is a small town south of Paris that is a very small town. So we brought our US team, our APAC team, everyone in Vierzon, and we had a blast. So that's already been celebrated, and now we're very focused on the next 5 years.
All right. Well, listen, look, I'm a fan. I've been using Ledger ever since I entered the market. Everybody I know, when they get in, I always recommend them to get a Ledger. I think it's a fantastic product. I wish you all the best. I hope you lots of success for the future. Tell people how they can find out more about Ledger and how they can get hold of you.
More about Ledger, ledger.com. And how they can get a hold of me, pascal@ledger.com. Anyone can.
Fantastic. Well, look, good luck to the future. And if I can ever do anything for you, please do get in touch.
All right, Peter, thank you so much.
All right, so what did you think of that? Did you enjoy that? Was it good to finally hear from Pascal on the show? I thought it was cool. You know, it was really great to talk to him and understand what the company's been through for the last few years, to talk about what they've been building. I also think that idea of them integrating with something like BlockFi is very interesting. I don't have any insider knowledge. I don't know if that's happening. I just think it would be very cool if they did. I would love that. Also, Pascal doesn't pull any punches when he was talking about some of the vulnerabilities that Trezor have. And, you know, I also have a Trezor, so it's highly relevant to me. But I do also think the more hardware options we have, the better. It's better for the market. It's better for everyone else. So I will also be setting up my cold card soon because I'll be playing with that as well. Anyway, if you've got any questions about the show, do hit me up. My email address is hello@whatbitcoindid.com. If you want to support the show, there's so many things you can do. It's all up on my website. And if you're a regular listener, if you've not done any of those things, come on. Join me, support the show, leave me a review, subscribe, whatever it is. Head over to whatbitcoindid.com, click on the support section. It will explain everything to you there. Also, if you're a Patreon subscriber, I'm also sending out my Defiance shows ad-free to there as well. So definitely go and check that out. As I said, I'm enjoying LA. I'm hanging out in Malibu with my buddy, Justin, the guy who actually came up with the name What Bitcoin Did out in Venice. He's moved to Malibu, so I'm enjoying a couple of days up here. Going to be working, also relaxing a little bit. And then I'm going to be heading out to New York. As ever, if you've got any questions, you can reach out to me. I try and reply to everyone. My email address is hello@whatbitcoindid.com.